Okay, after the wool was cut off the sheep and the geziza, it would then be cleaned because there's a lot of impurities in it. So first it had to be washed, and then it would be bleached. In the bleaching process, there were two, my understanding is, always my understanding of Matthias is always, you know, fourth hand, but my understanding of Matthias is that it was the bleaching process would not only make it whiter, it would remove other impurities because of the chemicals that were used in the bleaching. So there are really two stages here. So there's the kvisa and then the bleaching. So Rashi on the Mishnah 9 Gimel Mid Aleph says that what is the av melacha of tovea when the Mishnah lists, the av melacha of melabein, Rashi says it's the kvisa, the first stage, the laundering. Rashi says like that in Zvachim as well, that the laundering is the av melacha of melabein. The Rambam disagrees, and the Rambam says that the bleaching process, the fact that you turned it white, is the av melacha of melabein. Kvisa, laundering, is a tolda. And we could understand that in one of two ways. Obviously, it's not so significant because kvisa itself is even a tolda, but we could understand that the Rambam says that kvisa doesn't change the object. Or again, all the melachas have to be extremely creative. So whitening or bleaching is more creative than just laundering. Laundering just returns something to a status that it already had. It's less significant. The Avnei Nezer suggests an original pshat, which I don't, and it's interesting. I don't know how far we want to take this, that no, it's because it's out of order. Because when you launder a beged, so you already are way past this stage in the melachos. Again, the melachos here are going to go in order. It's going to be first you shear the wool off, then you make, then you bleach it or whatever, then you are going to do other things with the wool to make it into thread, and then you're going to make a garment out of it. But let's say I have an already made garment, and I launder it. So the Avnei Nezer says that's what the Rambam's talking about. That type of laundering is out of order, because the laundering that happened in the Mishkan was before it was made into a beged, and here I'm taking a beged and doing laundering with it. That's a tolda, because it's out of order, and all of these set melachos have to take place in order to be considered the av melacha. But either way, it's a tolda. It's not so, but it's still chayv chatos. But the Rambam believes that the bleaching process itself is the av melacha melavin. What's interesting is the Minchas Chinuch points out that when the Rambam describes the av melacha, he includes shani, which was not white. Different color. So it seems like from the Rambam that the av melacha melaben can even be by other colors. It doesn't specifically have to be by white. The Mishnah Brura says that if a person launders colored clothing, of course that is aser chayv chatos. It's the av melacha according to Rashi of melaben. The Bach quotes from Marshal, and it's interesting that the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch also paskins this way, that there's no melabein d'oraisa. I think he says it's mutter if the garment is another color. If it's, you know, a blue towel, then there's no melabein. So, but that is the Bach and the name of Marshal, and the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch paskins that way, but that's generally not accepted. The Mishnah Berurah says that it's... Even other colored garments, there's the av melacha melabein. So for Rashi, it makes a lot of sense. You wash the garment. Why should the melacha is washing, laundering? Why should the dafka have to be a white beged, even if it's any other color? But for the Rambam, what seems to be, which is a chiddush, is that if I make a garment, I take a garment that's one color and I change it to a different color, along the same lines as bleaching, but it's not white, I made it blue, that is also melabein. Because the Rambam includes shani.
You're translating toveya as
bleaching? So the Chayei Adam, this could help for Yerushalmi. The Chayei Adam, in the Malacha, when he's discussing Malacha of Toveya, quotes in the Nishmas Adam, in the bottom, quotes from the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says, Tzviya b'mishkan. Where was Tzviya in the Mishkan? So Chayei Adam says, where was Tzvi in the Mishkan? The Urios were all different colors. Some were this color, some were that color, red, whatever. You look in the Mishkan book, you'll see all the different colors. So he says, What do you mean, where was Tzvi in the Mishkan? When they died the Urios, that was Tzviya. The Yushalmi, though, says, where was Tzvi in the Mishkan? When they drew the shape of the animals on the different parts of the Mishkan, which had shapes of animals on them. So that was the Tzviya, but not the dying of the Urios. So Chayatim says, why not? So the later Achronim point out that it works out very well for the Rambam, because the Rambam holds dying something a different color, a solid color, that's not Soveya, that's Malabing. Where is Soveya? As if I draw a picture, that's Soveya. That's what Yushalmi says, where the lions were other animals. That's Soveya. But to make something a solid color, for the Rambam is not only a Tov of Malabing, that's the Av Melacha of Malabing. It's because the same as white. Why should white be significant more than any other color? Finish. Yeah.
I thought the animals were embroidered in.
Embroidered on, yeah.
So
I don't. We have to research it more. But that's what the Yushalmi says. Well, maybe when we get up to Tzoveh, we'll look at the Yushalmi more carefully. But clearly, everyone holds that laundering a garment is Tzoveh for the Rashi. So, Av Melacha for Rambam, it's a Tolda. The Mishnah in Tzvachim on Tzadik Dalet Amud Aleph is discussing kibus dam chatos. The pasuk says in Parashas Tzav that if dam from a chatos gets sprinkled on or gets splattered onto a garment, that the garment requires kvisa. It has to be washed for whatever reason, so the blood shouldn't become nosa or whatever. So the Mishnah says in Tzvachim that it doesn't make a difference if it's a beged or sock or ore. It always requires kvisa. So the Gemara says, lememra, does that mean to say that ore is a bar kvisa? Leather is a bar kvisa? And the Gemara quotes from a Mishnah in Shabbos. The Mishnah in Shabbos says, on kuf mem beis and mebeis. This is all in the Shaka V'Tara of the Gemara. The Gemara says, the Gemara quotes from Mishnah on Shabbos that if a person gets dirt on their clothing, so if it's on their clothing, the only way they can remove the dirt is if I take a rag and wipe it off gently. But if it's ore, if it's made out of leather, then I can wash it. I can pour water on it. You can't, we'll get to that in a second, you can't rub it together, but you can pour water on it. So Gemara says, why can I pour water onto the ore? If ore is a bar kibus in Hilchas Dam Chatos, why shouldn't it be a bar kibus in Hilchas Shabbos too? So Gemara, the next stage of the Gemara says, no, it's really machlokas hatanoim. Some tanoim hold ore is a bar kibus, other tanoim hold it's not a bar kibus. But then the Gemara comes to the conclusion, no, like this. The Gemara says like this. Gemara says, by rockin', if it's soft leather, everyone agrees it's a bar kibus. Everyone. And by dam chatas, you'd have to wash it out. The machlokes atanoim there is about kashin, hard leather. Some hold yes, some hold no. If ore requires kibus from dam chatas. Because if it's a bar kibus, then it would require kibus. If it's not a bar kibus, it would not require kibus, and that's machlokes atanoim about ore kasha. But then the Gemara asks, so why is a mutter to put water on my beged on Shabbos? Put water on the ore on Shabbos. Aren't we talking about soft leather? What is the guy wearing? He's wearing hard leather? He's presumably wearing a leather jacket, a soft leather. So the Gemara says, because kibus, without kiskus, without rubbing, is not kibus. That's not kibus at all. And there, you're just pouring water on. So says the Gemara, if that's the case, why by a garment also can I just pour water on it to clean it without rubbing? Because kvisa without kiskos is not kvisa. And the Gemara says a rule that by begadim it's different, because shriyaso zehu kibuso. By soaking it, that is the kibus. By garments. By ore, that's not true. Shriyaso is not zehu kibuso. Probably because ore, when you soak it, nothing dramatic happens. But by garments, when you soak them, that itself is the kibus. So Tosfos in Shabbos asks, this is Tosfos in Shabbos. On Kufim Aleph Amid Aleph. Tosus asks, if Shriyasu Zehu Kibusu by Begadim, then we have a problem in other areas. Because the Gemara says in Yuma that if a person is going to be Makabo Pnei Rabo Beregel, and he encounters a body of water, he can walk through the body of water ad savaro. But how can he do that? What happened to Shriyaso Zehu Kibuso? He just laundered his garments. Or the Gemara says in Beitza that if a Nida, she's Tame, and she's now finished with her Nida period, and she's ready to go to the mikveh, but she has tamei begadim. Her begadim are still tameim, and she has no new begadim. So she can go into the mikveh neither tovelas bibegadeha to be metaher herself and her begadim, even on Shabbos. How are you allowed to do that? What happened to Shriyaso Zehu Kibuso? You want to ask something?
There's also a Gemara later that says, considering what it means that a person is proceeded on Shabbos should be
right. Right. Why couldn't he walk through?
Yeah, why can't he walk through? And it says the only issue is he'll come to squeeze, but it doesn't mention anything.
It doesn't mention anything about Levin. Yeah. I think Tosfos brings that up. So the Rishonim have three resolutions to this problem. The Gemara in Zvachim says Shriyasa Zehu Kibbutzah, but we find Gemara's that you can walk through water on Shabbos. So the Re, which is the first opinion quoted in Tosfos, says that's only if I have a spot on the Beged. It's a Beged Miluchloch. Then, Shriyaso Zehu Kibusa. But what if I don't have dirt on my Beged? A guy's going to see his Rebbe, presumably he's wearing his new suit and his clean shirt, and then he walks and encounters a body of water. So his Begadim are clean. By clean Begadim, we don't say Shriyaso Zehu Kibusa. Then Tosfos quotes from the Rabbeinu Tam that the distinction is not between clean begadim versus dirty begadim. The distinction is between derech lichluch and derech, I guess with the opposite, he only talks derech lichluch, I guess derech nikayon, cleaning. There, when we say shriyasu zehu kibuso, is when I'm soaking it in a cleaning liquid, like water. But here, the guy's walking through this body of water. Presumably, again, there's a lot of dirt floating around there. His begadim will not come out cleaner than they were before. So that's derech lichluch. Or neither tovel's begadeha also. It wasn't talking about she was going in one of our clean mikvahs. She was going probably in a fresh body of water. Again, her garments are going to become more dirty than when they started. That's derech lichluch. Therefore, Tosfos says in the name of the Rabbeinu Tam, Shama Ri mi Pinoshim, the Ri heard from the ladies, that Rabbeinu Tam allowed them that if they got, let's say they were home with the children and she was holding the baby and the baby urinated on her, but she wants to daven. Now her begadim are dirty on Shabbos. So Shabbos robe, she's not going to change. So Rabbeinu Tam allowed her to wash her hands in water and dry them on the robe where they got dirty, which would be mavatel the meiraglayim. It would dilute it and make it less significant, and therefore she could daven and make brachas and everything. Because that's what Rabbeinu Tam said there. It's derech lichluch. She was washing her hands, and now she's drying them. She probably has a little dirt on her hands, and she's drying them on the robe. That's derech lichluch. And the Ri disagrees, Einiru L'Ri, because she's mechavein to be metaher the beged from the lichluch, and that's like Liban. There's a discussion even within the Rabbeinu Tam, the Mishnah Berurah discusses this. Was that only by Meiraglayim? What about if the child made a bowel movement on her? Would he even allow that there? So Mishnah Berurah says no, not there. Even for the Rabbeinu Tam. We'll get to how we pass in a minute. But even for the Rabbeinu Tam, let's just deal with the Rabbeinu Tam for a second. Even within Rabbeinu Tam, the Mishnah Berurah says, Uzdavka Meiraglayim, because you're Mavato the Meiraglayim. You dilute it. You're not cleaning it, you're diluting it. As opposed to if there was other dirt on herself that you couldn't make a bracha, that's cleaning. That's not diluting. But in truth, the Shaarei Tshuva has a discussion about this. You look in the Shaarei Tshuva, and that's Sif in Shulchan Aruch. It's not so clear about that point. Another unclarity, I guess you could call it, within the Rabbeinu Tam, is what if she would wash her hands over her beged? Why does she have to wash her hands, then dry them on her robe? What about if I put the robe underneath the sink, and I wash my hands over the robe? That's also derech lichluch. I'm really washing my hands, and presumably there's dirt on my hands, which is now going onto the robe. I'm not washing my hands and drying it on the robe. Can I wash my hands over the robe? It's going to get all over. So Mr. Brewer says, no, but I can't do that. She also says, oh, kibuso. It's going to come out much cleaner than it was before. The Shaarei Tshuva has a discussion about that. Anyway, I don't think we pass it like either one of those. It's Dafka Meir Aglaim and it's Dafka if she washed her hands already, but it's Shaarei Tshuva. It's interesting Shaarei Tshuva. Getting back. So that's the second shot in the Gemara. The Gemara says, Shuyas is El Kibuso, but how is the Nidah Tovels Bugadea? How is the guy walking up to his neck going to see his Rebbe? These are all talking about where either the Beged was clean or it's Derech Lichluch. The Urayim has his own shot, and the Urayim says, no! These two Gemaras are talking about where they were wearing leather garments. The guy's wearing a leather suit. So then, you don't say Shriyoso Zeo Kibuso. Yeah. That's the Urayim. The Shulchan Aruch in Sif Yud quotes from the Urayim. That's who he picks. But it doesn't seem like he goes that way entirely. He says, Aroch et yodov. Person who's washing his hands, he says, Tov. Lenag vein bekoach. When a person's washing his hands, it's nice that he should dry them off before he dries his hands on the towel. Because he's choshesh, that even though it's derech lichluch, that I'm drying my hands on the towel, perhaps there's some sort of shriyaso zehu kibuso over here. So it's better to dry your hands off first. Who is that like? That's the Urayim. The Urayim holds Shriyasu Zehu Kibuso is even Derech Lichluch. The Magen Avraham, which is quoted by the Mishnah Berurah, says he dafka chose the language of Tov. It's a Chumrah. But Meikra, then we don't pask in that way. And that's even within the world of the Shulchan Aruch. The Ramah there quotes in the Rabbeinu Tam that there is no Isser if it's Derech Lichluch. Therefore, you don't have to be Machmer on that.
And to try and get as much water off your hands.
So you don't have any issues of Shriya, yeah, before you dry them on the towel.
Doesn't that work for the
Riyah? Yeah, if it's clean too, you have nothing. You're right. Either way, you have nothing to worry about. For the Riyah, the Rabbeinu Tam, there's nothing to discuss by drying your hands on a towel. So the Shulchan Aruch quoted the Urayim as a Chumrah. And the Urayim doesn't buy into either one of those two kulas.
And even for Rabbeinu Tam, we're assuming that the liquid is dirty,
when you wash your hands, the assumption is that when I dry them on the towel gets dirtier. If you look in, you know, some shtiebels, well, they don't have paper towels. All they have is a towel. The towel is dirty. It's not clean. So I think that that assumption is correct. Huh? Dirty. It gets dirty. Yeah, right.
Marginal differences. Okay, fine, so
still Derech Lichluch. It's not Derech Nikayon. Yeah.
But even according to the Ram, that won't be Rumpkins or Kibuso,
no? Okay. Okay.
Still on the other
bottom. Yeah.
Secretion?
Okay. Yeah. Anyway, the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Chumash, the Ram, the Ramah says, no, the Rabbeinu Tam holds as Derech Lichluch, and that's permissible, and I think that we're not even Machmir for the Ram. That was only in the land of the Shulchan Aruch. That's the Shulchan Aruch in one sif. The Shulchan Aruch before that quotes the Mishnah, that the Mishnah says if a person gets dirt on his beged, he can only clean it off with a garment. He can't use water at all. But the Ramah quotes the Heter of the Ri, that if the beged is clean, that's only if the beged has dirt. But if the beged is clean, then you can pour a little bit of water on. You can't pour a ton of water on, because we're going to see whenever you make a beged so saturated with water, we're afraid you're going to squeeze it out. But you can put some water on. You don't say Shriyasa Zeo Kibuso if the beged is clean. You don't say Shiyos HaZeh Kibbutz if the beged is clean. The question is, what did the Shulchan Aruch hold? The Shulchan Aruch says if you have a beged that has dirt on it. But was he just quoting the Mishnah, or did he mean to also paskin like the Ri? So that's a discussion in the Bir HaLacha. Did the Shulchan Aruch also paskin like the Ri, or is that a kua from the Ramah?
What exactly does the Shulchan Aruch say?
He just quotes the Mishnah, that if you have dirt on your beged, you have to use a kua to clean it off. So did he mean that he's just quoting the Mishnah, but he doesn't subscribe? He was innocuous. He's a bystander here. Mm-hmm. Or did he mean to say, no, because the beged has dirt on it, that's why I have to use a cloth. Uh-huh. But otherwise, I could have used water. Either way, those are the two hetayim by the Ri and the Rebbe. In a time when we seem to subscribe to both. The Bir HaLacha does have a little small Bir HaLacha where he has a little a discussion. Does the Rabbeinu Tam hold of the Ri? Does the Rabbeinu Tam hold of the Ri? What does that mean? If I have a beggar that's derech lichluch, does it also have to be... Does the Ri hold of the Rabbeinu Tam? If I have a beggar which is clean... if I have a beggar which is dirty, can I even do a derech lichluch? Is that permissible, or does the Ri not hold? If it's dirty, even derech lichluch is awesome. Anyway, if it's derech lichluch, or the beged is clean, you have what to rely upon. But this is the point. The Ramah by the we'll sum up in a second. The Ramah by the clean begadim says v'yesh osim b'chol inyan. He says there are those who disagree that even if the beged is clean, then there is an iser of shriya. So again, the Ri says if the beged is clean, there's no iser shriya. The Ramah quotes it, but he quotes those who disagree as well. Right, so we don't rely on that lechachilo, because the Ramah quotes two opinions. He quotes the Ri, and then he says v'yesh olsun. So we don't rely on the Ri lechachilo. The better heter is the Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam says that if it's derech lichluch, that's permissible, and that's quoted by the Ramah without a cholek. So those are the two heterim, and we lechachilo would rather rely on the Rabbeinu Tam. The Ri, the Ramah quotes v'yesh olsun. Can you rely on the Ri? Let's say I have a clean beggar that I need to be shower for whatever reason. Can I rely on the Ri? Even though the Ramah quotes two opinions about that. Quotes a Yesh Osim. So the Bir HaLacha discusses a case of a child who takes baths every day. So he says you could give the child a bath on Yontif as well. That itself is significant. Give the child a bath on Yontif. But the Ramah says, but in order to wash the child, they would have to put towels underneath the child so he wouldn't slip and slide. So how can you put towels in the bath? That's Shriyasa Zehu Kibuso. So the Bir HaLacha says, well, if the towels are clean, perhaps you could rely on the Ri that when they are dealing with a clean beged, you don't say Shriyasa Zehu Kibuso. So in a time of need, where the child might have the status of a cholish aimbo sakana because he bathes every day, and if he's not going to get his bath, there will be a break from his regular routine. So then, if you're b'makom cholish aimbo sakana, you can rely on this Ri that if the beged is clean, you could do shriyaso zeo kibuso. The Shmir Shabbos Kolchaso also discusses a person who gets a sprain or catches his finger in a door or something like that, where it's swollen and he needs a compress. So he says if the person has those types of injuries, so you can rely on the Ri to make a compress with a clean beged. Because you don't say, under those circumstances, you can rely on the Ri. But ideally, we would rely on the Rabbeinu Tam that if it's derech lichluch, then it's permissible. If it's not derech lichluch, then we wouldn't do that.
The Bir HaLacha discusses the case of the child who wants to take the bath.
Yeah.
So, would we say that schit is not an issue because the water...
You leave it in the bath.
But it's getting water on it, isn't it?
Yeah, but what's it? I'm not squeezing it out.
So this would be a riot to what we said before.
That if it's going in and out. Yeah, out. Okay, maybe. Okay. Yeah, good. I'm so convinced of that, I don't need a riot. Yeah.
The
glass pad's
already lichlof, no?
It's also derech lichlof, yeah. It could be it's also derech lichlof. Right, the Bir HaLacha raises that. But here it's not really. I'm just, let's say a guy gets a swollen finger, so he puts it on his finger. Is that really derech lichluch?
Right, I mean, the
lichluch
has to get there. You're going to throw it out right after, but it's to get.
It means the washing, when it has contact with the water, is derech lichluch, not derech nikayon. Here, when it had contact with the water, that's not derech lichluch. I'm making the compress. The fact that I put it on my finger, like, when I dry my hands on the towel, that itself is derech lichluch. It's contact, it's meeting with the water is derech lichluch. Here, I put it on my finger later. I think if the contact with the water is derech lichluch, not if I put it in water to do something else with, that's not derech lichluch. The Gemara came out with the maskana that if I had only by begadim, you say shviyasu zeh kibuso. But if I'm dealing with ore, with leather, so then we don't say shviyasu zeh kibuso. But by soft leather, I'm not allowed to launder it by doing kiskus, by washing the two sides together and rubbing them one against the other. And by or kashed machlokas hatanoim, whether even that is aser, that also might be mutter. So how do we paskin on that machlokas? So that's machlokas harishonim. But in Shulchan Aruch, the Shulchan Aruch in Siftes does not distinguish between or kasha and or rach. So it sounds like he's machmir on that. But he does say that it's only if you do kiskos or shifshuf, whatever he calls it. Tzichsuch. But the Bir Halacha has a very long Bir Halacha there, where he has an interesting question. The Rambam, this is based on the Psak of the Rambam. The Rambam also doesn't distinguish between Or Kasha and Or Rach. So he assumes he passes like that opinion Tanoim, that Or Kasha is also awesome. But the problem is the Rambam in Hilchos Maaseh Karbonos does distinguish. By Dam Chatas he does distinguish. Why over here does he not distinguish? And another problem is that the Rambam, the Gemara says only if it's, you rub the two together. And that's what's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, but the Rambam doesn't say that. The Rambam seems to assume that even if I just do kvisa, the only time it's mutter is if I pour a little water on it. But if I do kvisa, I didn't rub them very hard together, but I rubbed it somewhat. Not very hard, but somewhat. So that's also usser. That the Gemara says mutter. The Gemara said that's never usser. So Bir Halacha rereads the Gemara over there, and he understands that somehow we came out in the Gemara to distinguish between Shabbos and Dam Chatas. He changes the Girsa. Somehow we distinguish between Chatas and Shabbos, and this is at least Asa Midrabanan. All of this is Asa Midrabanan. Bein or Rach, Bein or Kosher, even though the Rambam paskins otherwise in Hilchos Maaseh Karbanos, and even if you don't rub it very thoroughly, even just a little bit. So that's a Chumr of the Bir Halacha. The Shulchan Aruch says only if you rub them very well together. And the Bir Halacha suggests that even if you don't rub them so much, you just do kvisa, mish it around, that's also asa midrabanan. The Avnei Nezer has a tshuva about the Rambam as well, where he says a yesod, which is important. The Avnei Nezer says, yes, of course the Rambam distinguishes between Shabbos and Damchatas, even though the Gemara compared the two. The Rambam, the obvious difference, by Damchatas, I'm trying to get out something that was absorbed by the beged. So then, or kasha, which does not absorb, there's no kvisa by or kasha. It doesn't absorb damchatas. And then it's only if I rub the two together. But the yesod of libun by Shabbos is different. It's because I changed the color for the Rambam. There was a stain, and I kind of removed the stain. It's like changing the color of the beged. Shinoi chazusa. And he has a raya l'dover. He says, how do I know libun has nothing to do with taking out something that's balua? It only has to do with changing the color. Because he says, let's say a person has trefa kalim on Shabbos. So the Rishonim and Beitza discuss, can a person be magil? Can he do hechstra kalim on Shabbos or Yontif? And they say that it's aser, because it looks like Masak and Mana. I'm fixing the Kali. But nobody says it's Libun. It's Malabain. Why, says Avnei Nezer, didn't I take out something that was Balua in the Kali?
You can't see it.
You can't see it. That's a question if Libun applies to something even that I can't see. But we'll get back. We're not going to get back to that. But it's an interesting point. But Avnei Nezer says, you see from here that Libun has nothing to do with taking out a balua, it only has to do with changing the color. Well, that's exactly the point, maybe. That's exactly the point. Whereas by Dam Chatos, that is enough. Uh-huh. It's taking out the Balua. Yeah, that's I think that's exactly the point. Is that no color changed? And that's what's significant by Libun. Then he asked, then or. The whole or discussion doesn't make sense because washing by or doesn't necessarily change the color of the or. I mean, Libun in Hilchos Shabbos, not Libun in Hilchos Hashem.
Okay.
Right, Libun is making something hot, right? That's a form of Hashem. So the Avnei Nezer says, no, the whole discussion of or in the Gemara is only because, by Shabbos, is only because it's all awesome midrabanan, it's not a, and nothing here is awesome midrash, so it's all one big zera midrabanan because it's similar to begadim. Because the whole concept of Libun by Shabbos is changing the color, and that doesn't apply to or at all. Bein or kasha, bein or rach. And the whole comparison of the Gemara, he thinks, is only some sort of elaborate havamina. So it's similar to begadim. So whatever the halacha is by begadim should apply to or. So there's no difference between or kasha and or rach because there's no distinction between whether it's bolea or not bolea because the whole thing shouldn't apply to or. And there's no difference if I do kiskus or kvisa, right, which is lighter. As long as I'm doing something, that's asam midrabanan. So I don't think the Avnei Nezer's pshat is so great, because then why isn't Shviyasu Zeu Kivusa by Or? And I know it's getting detailed, but you know he doesn't follow through all the way. But what's interesting from the Avnei Nezer is that he seems to at least derive this principle from the Rambam, even though we don't accept the Rambam, because we hold there's only Kivusa by Or if you rub the two together well, that the Yesod of Libun is changing the color, removing some sort of dirt, or it makes the bag cleaner, not removing a balua necessarily. The discussion of or is significant, not only because it occupies a large portion of the Gemara and Zvachim, but because it's newer materials. We have trouble figuring out how they fit in, and or might be a possibility of how they fit in. Ramosha has a tshuva about washing plastic tablecloths. So he says washing a plastic tablecloth should be less than or kosher, because plastic presumably doesn't absorb at all. But Ramosha says I have no raya to that. So he thinks we should be machmir to treat it like or kosher. And you shouldn't rub it together very well. The Bialoch had his chumrah, you shouldn't even move it around a little bit because he was machmer for the Rambam. Any type of kvisa, so Ramosh says, nah, by plastic, it's only if you rub it very well.
That's taking it
two sides
and together.
So that's what the Shulchan Aruch says. It's like that, but the Mishnah Berurah says, it's avdavka that I took one side and the other side and rubbed them together. Any rubbing, serious rubbing, would be usher. Right, so you couldn't rub a plastic. Let's say I have a stain on a. Let's say a person. Some people have thick plastic tablecloths, and you rub it very well to get out something from the thick plastic tablecloth. You know, not the disposable kind. The Ramosha kind of. He says meikra, then he doesn't think it's a problem, but he doesn't. He doesn't feel comfortable being meikol. Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa quotes almost the exact same thing from Shlomo Zalman by rubber gloves. People sometimes use rubber gloves to wash dishes. So again, he says that using the rubber gloves, even if you rub the two gloves together to clean the gloves, I guess when you're done, so really the rubber shouldn't absorb anything, but since we don't have a riot to that, we treat it like or kasha, and you can't rub the two together vigorously.
When he means that we don't have a riot, he means that we don't have a riot that new material should be
less
treated in a separate category?
Right.
Okay.
We don't have a material that is less than or, which we could compare it to. The Gemara doesn't address something that's less than or.
Okay.
The most makel we have is or kasha, so he treats it like or kasha. Dain Weiss has a tshuva about a woman who has some sort of hand condition and she can't wash dishes without gloves, so he says, okay, you know, you can rely on the fact that plastic is not valea to wash dishes with the gloves. But the Orach HaShabbos points out a different heter, I think in the name of one of the poskim, that if this is derech lichluch, if she's just washing the dishes, even though it's getting rubbed, that's derech lichluch. So that should be permissible. Not afterwards, you're rubbing the gloves to clean them. While she's washing the dishes, she's rubbing the gloves. That should be considered derech lichluch, which is the best of that term.
The liquid she's washing, she's putting it in. It's cleaning.
Well, there's food particles and other things there, so.
But it's cleaning. It is cleaning the dishes. That's why you're using it.
Right,
so,
but I guess that would be called derech lichluch. I think that is called derech lichluch. You have spanking new gloves, and then you start washing dishes, and you come out afterwards, they'll be dirtier than they were before.
So for the dishes, it's derech libum, but for the gloves, it's derech lichluch.
Okay. I don't know. The Mishnah Brura says that it's, let's say I have a countertop or kli eitz. So that's mutter to clean. That's not called libun. Why not? So it could be over there because nothing, that could be the idea of the Avnei Nezer, that nothing gets absorbed. It has nothing to do with removing things that are absorbed. It has to do with changing the color of the item. And here you don't change the color of the item, but some of the other achronim, the new achronim, the Sefer Torah Samalachos and the Sefer Nesiv Chaim, which we mentioned one time, both understand the heta of the Mishnah Brura in a slightly different way. They understand that the only time there's an iser of cleaning something is when that is called, we call it, again, this type of idea along the lines of Shlomo Zalman's running theme, we call it laundering. Here we call it cleaning. You know, you clean the countertop. It's not laundering. Or you clean a kelim. You don't launder them. So this idea might be relevant. The Orach HaShabbos applies this idea to, let's say a person has plastic cups or plastic plates, and he wants to wash the plastic cup or plastic plate to be used again. So, but Rav Moshe was machmir on plastic. They cannot rub plastic very well because we're not sure what plastic has a status of. Is it clear? Is it this? That? So you can't rub it very well. What about a plastic cup? You can't wash a plastic cup rubbing it very well with your finger or something? So he says, no, that he's mako on. Because washing plastic cups, that's cleaning. Rav Moshe was talking about plastic tablecloths. A tablecloth, that's laundering. Just telling you what's out there. It's an interesting svar, but Rav Moshe's chumra is hard to deal with, so I'm sympathetic to someone, to limiting it somewhat. But if you have a leather cup, or people used to drink out of these leather satchels or something, so then that would be awesome. Yeah.
I was thinking, it also suggested in the Mishkan, Malavin was only performed on textiles, on fabrics. And countertop or cup.
Okay, so it would be a toldah. If it was us, it would be a toldah. The Mishkan is the kaveh of what's an av, not what's usar. The discussion of or is also not only relevant for plastic, but becomes very relevant in this. It was a big discussion, I forgot, a few years ago. I remember when this happened, about the contact lenses, cleaning contact lenses on Shabbos. So the consensus among the poskim was that cleaning hard lenses, they used to have, this is the way it used to be, is there used to be two solutions you used to have to put it in. One was an enzyme solution, which would get rid of the protein buildup on the contact lens, and then there was a saline solution, which would preserve it and keep it moist, so when you put it in your eye, it would go in properly. So there was a discussion about both solutions. Are you allowed to put contact lenses in these solutions on Shabbos? Now my understanding is that there's only one solution, and some of the Metzius has changed. But by hard contact lenses, the assumption was amongst the poskim that you're allowed to leave it in the solution, soaking in the solution, because the hard lenses don't absorb anything at all. So it's like plastic. So Rav Moshe is machmer plastic, you shouldn't rub it vigorously, but to rub it slightly. Sometimes they used to have to rub the enzyme solution a little over the lens, but it was all very lightly. If you rub it too heavily, it'll break. So that was the poskim permitted that.
It's not kiskus, though.
Right. No, it's light, like kibbutz. It's not with kiskus. It's more, rubbing two things together along those type of lines.
So everybody should should be mangled.
Yeah, exactly. But the hard lenses, the consensus was to be mangled.
Okay.
The discussion became with these soft lenses. So some people wear lenses and throw them out after the day is done. But when you have soft lenses that last for a few weeks, and then you throw them away, so they absorb, apparently these lenses absorb water, absorb the solution somewhat. So you're allowed to soak them on Shabbos or use the enzyme solution on Shabbos. So Rabbi Yashav has a tshuva about this in his Kovetz Tshuvos. And there's a long article about this written by Rabbi Rubin, who's the author of the Orchel Shabbos. He later reprinted it in the back of his sefer. You could find it was printed in a journal called Yeshurun at the time when this whole thing came out. So he also sides somewhat with Rabbi Yashav. But they said, Rabbi Yashav said, and it makes sense, that the contact lens absorbs. So why don't we, should be like a baguette that absorbs. And Shriyaso Zehu Kibuso. So you cannot soak contact lenses, even in the saline solution, on Shabbos. Let alone clean them. Let's say I can clean something without using water. They have some sort of spray stick. You know, where wouldn't it be a stick and be a problem or other issues of smoothing out the stick? But you could spray powder on it, and the stain would go away. I'm sure they'll have some sort of spray like that. So is that usher? So the Avnei Nezer, so the Shmir Shabbos quotes along the lines of the Avnei Nezer, that's usher, because what's the yisod of Liban is changing the color. So if that's true, I don't need water. I clean the baguette. I go like this. The baguette's clean. Usher, that's Liban. So if this solution cleans the baguette, even if it cleans the contact lens, even if you wouldn't say Shmir Yasso Zel Kibuso, but it cleans it like that, so then that's for sure usher. But Rabbi Yashav even ushered soaking it in saline solution, because since it absorbs, it has the status of a beggar, and Shriyasa Zehu Kibuso. Rabbi Bleich, in his, I'm sorry, but Rabbi Yashav threw in this heter, which is important. He said, when can you be mekel to leave? So what are you supposed to do with the contact lenses on Shabbos? To wear them all Shabbos? So he said, no. If the contact lenses are cleaned before Shabbos, so it's nucky. It's like a beggar nucky. So you could rely, even though the Ramah quoted two opinions about the Beged Naki, Yesh Osrim and Yesh Matirim. He quoted the read that a Beged Naki, there's no Shriyasa Zehu Kibuso, but he quoted a Yesh Osrim. So Rabbi Yashav said that if it's cleaned before Shabbos, you could leave it in the saline solution soaking, because it's Naki. And the saline solution doesn't clean it. You can't leave it in a cleaning solution. That's us always. That's not Shriyasa Zehu Kibuso, that's Kibus Mamish. So he says, but if it's just in a saline solution to preserve it, that's like Shriya, and Shriya Zehu Kibuso doesn't apply if it's a Beged Naki. And even though the Ramah quoted Machmirim, the Machmirim are only talking about when the soaking makes the Beged look newer. This is his shot in the Machmirim. Why should one say by Beged Naki Shriya Zasar? Because when I soak it, true, well, I didn't have a spot. It didn't look dirty, but now it looks cleaner. But here, it's clean as clean can be. Once I clean it in the solution, it doesn't come out looking better from the saline solution. So, everyone should be mekel. That's Rabbi Yashav said all this. So if it's clean before Shabbos, he allowed you to soak it in the saline solution on Shabbos. To leave it soaking. To soak it.
Is it separate? Even if it wasn't clean before Shabbos, the color doesn't change. And we can rely on that also.
Mm-hmm.
This is a separate heter. I mean, one heter is that...
We didn't quote any heter. This is the only heter so far. It's the soft lenses absorb, so it should be Shriyasa Zehu Kibuso, so you can't even leave it soaking in anything. Let alone a cleaning solution should for sure be yasa, but even soaking in saline solution should be yasa, just like Shriya. So Rabbi Yashav said, though, but if it's clean before Shabbos, not only do you have the re that a clean beged, you don't say Shriyasa Zehu Kibuso. Even for those who argue, that's only if it accomplishes some cleaning somewhat, some marginal cleaning. But here...
Can we also bring in the Rambam that the color is not changing? One second.
That's Rabbi Yashav's presentation. Rabbi Bleich has an article about this in the fifth volume of Contemporary Halachic Problems, where he says he doesn't understand the whole discussion about cleaning. He says all of the dirt here is surface dirt. None of the dirt get true. The contact lenses absorb liquid, but they don't absorb the dirt. That's all on the surface. And the Avnei Nezer said that the Yesod of Libun is changing the color of it, taking out the stain. Here, it's all on the surface. It's like cleaning a countertop or cleaning kalim. That's not melaving. What it should be like? It should be like plastic cups. So even if you have to rub a little bit the cleaning solution onto the contact lens, it should also be mutter. The only time it would be machmir is maybe Rav Moshe would be machmir by plastic if I rub it very well. But if I'm not rubbing it very well, you just mish it around on top of the contact lens, it should be like washing plastic cups or even a plastic tablecloth. That you would say, you don't say Shviyas Ozeo Kibuso, and you don't even, Kibus itself is mutter as long as you don't rub it very well. Like or kasha. Should have the status of or kasha. He quotes from Rishon Zalman, and this is quoted in the Shmir Shabbos Kochasa and the Nishma Savram as well, that Rishon Zalman told Rabbi Neuvert, the author of the Shmir Shabbos, that contact lenses don't plastic. Does not absorb, it's mutter to leave it soaking in the solution or to clean them on Shabbos because they don't absorb liquid in the same way that begadim do. Again, the whole premise of the iser by contact lenses is that since they absorb liquid, it should be like a beged. And you say, Shviyaso Zehu Kibuso. But Rosh Hashanah said they don't absorb liquid in the same way that begadim absorb liquid. So he said, rather, he gave a mushel, it's like a balloon. When liquid goes into plastic, it's like blowing air into a balloon. Doesn't go into the molecules. So Rabbi Rubin in the Orach HaShabbos says that he doesn't know what that corresponds to in Metzius, so he throws out Rosh Zalman is out as one of the Meikilim on the contact lenses because his Svara doesn't fit with the Metzius. So but Rabbi Bleich kind of revitalizes Rav Shlomo Zalman's pshat, and he thinks that the concept of Shlomo Zalman was wrong, even though his terminology was imprecise. By water in a baguette, it also doesn't go into the molecules. But he claims, and this is his expertise, not mine, that the water by a baguette goes in between the molecules. In between the molecules of any cloth fiber, there's airspace. And when water meets with the beged, the water takes over that airspace. That's why it becomes much heavier. But by plastic, this absorbent type of plastic, it doesn't go in between the molecules, it goes in between the strands of molecules, but not in between each individual molecule. So that is like, anytime I separate strands of molecules, that's like blowing air into a balloon. I'm putting something in between two strands of plastic. So Shlomo Zalman said that's not called absorbing. You don't say Shviyaso Zehu Kibuso by such a material. So Shlomo Zalman is Mako on this, and Rabbi Bleich is Mako as well, to put it in a cleansing solution on Shabbos. My understanding is that the whole thing changed. Now the saline solution and the cleansing solution all come in one. You don't even have to clean them so much. I'm not sure. You have to figure out what exactly is going on today in the contact lens scene. Rabbi Shlomo Zalman does point out one important note, that if the contact lens is all dried out, and now I realize, oh, my contact lens is all dried out, and now I put it in the cleansing solution, I put it in the saline solution to kind of reconstitute it, that's Masakin Mana. That's us for other reasons. Because it was garbage before, and now I made it back into a Kli, that would be a problem, Masakin Mana. Okay, we'll leave the rest of Libun till next time. Shkoyach Rabbi Yisrael.